Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Shurfordville.
Wow. Yeah, that would be a little weird.
Mmm.
Shurfordville.
Shurfordsville.
Shurfordsville.
I can't tell. Wherever you are in our great state. Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each every morning. Shurfordville. It's just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com.
Lee Battelle will get us straight.
Yeah, he'll get it. He knows where. It's in the Delta, so he
got Lee Battelle's got that.
College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and Lord knows you are looking for it. Guys, I told you I was very proud of the efforts I saw this week. A lot of new polos, not a lot of Banner M, but still a few of you stragglers out there. Well, thing to do is to take care of that is to go to College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you're headed out to Arizona this weekend, God bless you. No catfish to be found out there, I would imagine.
No.
The fried chicken probably not of a superior nature. I don't think they know what grits are in Arizona. So, before you leave, if you're here in Starkville, maybe make a trip to Restaurant Tyler just to batten down the hatches for you a little bit. Grab a blue plate lunch, the best blue plate in town. Or dinner. Dinner at Restaurant Tyler is always an event. It can be the special occasion. You don't need a special occasion to eat at Restaurant Tyler. Best meal in town, it's at Restaurant Tyler, corner of Washington and Main. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you everything you need to know. Not only where those locations are and what's nearby, but how they're going to help you manage your money, how they're going to help you invest, how they're going to help you prepare for your future. You did the hard work. You got the money to the bank. Let Priority One Bank take it from there and show you how they can help you build for a great future for you and your family. 16 locations means there's one near you. If you live in Central Mississippi, let PriorityOneBank.com, let Priority One Bank make you their priority. You guys are like, you missed something. I'll get to it. Don't worry. Jeff Lebby Day over at the SEAL building. We talked about it a little bit last week. Jeff Lebby press conferences are twofold. You will learn very little, but you will get out of there quickly. And you know what? I'm willing to sacrifice one for the other.
That's right.
You know,
it's kind of strange because I feel like he's fairly upfront when it comes to like injuries.
Yeah.
And pretty upfront just speaking on his team.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. He has a way how to finagle around things.
Yeah. So today, talked a little bit about his opening statement or his opening question, the first question which I got in there, he talked about learning lessons in victory. So I thought that's what we would talk about today. It's like, what were the lessons in victory for Mississippi State? He talked about the running game. Said that he felt that they left a lot out there. The lack of explosive plays in the running game was something that surprised me. Because
I think it kind of surprised him, too.
I think it did. I think that he drew up a game plan thinking, okay, we will certainly bust a couple of long ones here. State average, I think, just shy of 6 yards a carry. But as Lebby points out in the press conference, 41 of that is on one carry by Creed Whittemore. He had one carry for 41 yards. That's going to skew everything. I think if you take that out, you're probably closer to like 4.6, 4.5 yards per carry on the night. This is an offense that we've talked about it all offseason, you know, that it's hard. It's a running offense. We've seen, you know, at Oklahoma and at Ole Miss that these guys are able to bust big running plays. That's the probably the weakest defensive line you're going to play all year. Just how surprised were you that State wasn't able to run the football more effectively?
A little bit, but we discussed it after the game, and just kind of, to me, I felt like it was a little twofold. Like the running backs, the rotation was fairly fluid. I felt like every time I looked down there, it was Kevon Lee and then Devon Booth, and then, you know, Johnny Daniels started getting a lot. So I don't think it was ever at a point where they're just feeding the running backs and letting them get in a rhythm. So I think that probably had something to do with it. And then the offensive line, I continue to say, like, I think that that group just still needs to mesh a little bit. So I'm not overly concerned about it. And, again, the fact that Jeff Lebby kind of seemed irritated about it tells me that he expects that group to be better than what it was. And I love the fact that Jeff Lebby was pretty critical about his offense this past week. It would concern me if he was like, everything was great. I thought everything looked really good. We were really happy. We put up, you know, 56 points, stuff like that. The fact that
he could have come out and said that and nobody would have questioned.
Yeah. They've been like, okay, yeah. He was, quite frankly, he was not super happy with the offense's performance.
Mm-hmm.
And Blake Shapen, according to PFF, was the fourth highest rated quarterback this week. Yeah, you nearly had two 100-yard wide receivers. He rushed for over 200 yards, and he straight up came out and added context to why the numbers look good at rushing. Mm-hmm. He said we had two explosive plays that pretty much made it look a lot different than it was. So he is not going to be satisfied with just beating someone 56-7. I love that. I think this is going to be a guy that is going to strive for perfection on the offensive side of the ball. This does not fit. We talk about, is this Joe Moorhead or Dan Mullen? This does not feel like Joe Moorhead.
I agree with you on that.
Moorhead would have come out and talked about
how
many explosive plays they had in the game, and they ranked at this point in the country and stuff like that. I think that this is a little bit different.
This matchup with Arizona State, he talked a little bit about that. He talked about that you know, great energy, and they play with a lot of confidence. And I think you saw that Saturday night. When they got that first turnover Saturday night, did Arizona State, and took it in for a touchdown, an early pick six, an early defensive touchdown, usually goes a long way for a defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wyoming just kept giving them the ball. So he said, when he said the confidence is obvious on tape, what you've got to do early on if you're Mississippi State, I guess, is take away that confidence. A long drive, and going back to what we're saying, being able to run the football and dominate and establish your will there early in the game, you can tell that the running game is going to be a huge piece for Mississippi State this week, and if State's going to be able to pull off this win.
Yeah, no doubt. And taking care of the football is one of the things that he mentioned that was like their – that's the most important thing they have to do this weekend, because that is a defense, like you said, that had they got a lot of momentum early because of the turnovers. If you go look at their offensive stats, which I went and looked at, not overly impressive in that game. There wasn't anybody that really stood out in the ball game, and a lot of that was what their defense was doing, and that can certainly swing a ball game quickly. So taking care of the football, especially on the road, and making sure you're not digging yourself in a hole is really key for Mississippi State. And I think that a lot of the issues that they had offensively when they did have issues came from the fact that it was raining and it was wet.
Yeah.
You still shouldn't be fumbling the ball like that, but the three fumbles, you just can't have that. And I think that was something they really harped on, you know, after the game, when they were able to go back and kind of look at things they needed to work on. That was one of the big things that Jeff Lebby was upset about.
The odds of fumbling the ball that many times and not losing one is low. So when he says, and I think the exact quote was, very fortunate, you're not wrong about that for sure. Looking at the depth chart here that they released today, nothing different on it. I get the feeling that's probably going to be the case, right? I
don't think probably keep it.
Yeah, probably
not. Calvin Dinkins still in there?
He is. He's still listed as a starter. Corey Ellington not on there. Kelly Akari not on there. So
yeah, they're just going to keep that.
So,
which is fine. I mean,
yeah, I don't care.
Look, here's the deal. I needed to see it. Yeah. I don't care about the depth chart now.
Yeah, I just want to see it once.
As long as we saw it on the field,
yeah.
We kind of have a good idea at this point, I think. There's still some fluidity to it, I think. Yeah. But at this point, we pretty much know what to expect.
I agree. So, we got a new little segment here.
Yeah.
It's not really new. We're just going to tell you something. We're just going to jazz it up a little bit. Should I play the music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ace of Base?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, sure.
All right. I Saw the Sign is brought to you by Pip Printing and Signs. When you need someone to see your sign, you need to call Pip Printing and Signs. They'll put together an incredible package for you for graphics, exterior or interior of your business, plus all of the printing and marketing materials a business needs to get their message out there. Call Cam Baker today at 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. Tell him you want to see the sign at Pip Printing and Signs. The sign for me, it came from the what you were talking about just a minute ago about Lemmy being kind of open about injuries. With Calvin Dinkins, I think the sign is he's going to be okay. It feels like he said, felt better Sunday than he did Saturday, felt better today, and made it sound like it may not be a long-term thing. We'll see if he plays this week, but I think that the sign for me is that, A, he is going to be okay, that, B, Kelly Akari might see him this week, and that, see, I asked him about the new injury policy, and some coaches could have taken that opportunity to be like, this is a ridiculous thing, and the SEC is sort of putting their fingers in the pot where they don't need to, and blah, blah, blah. He was just very matter of fact, like, that's the rules, and we're going to play by them. So I'm excited about that. Not that I'm excited to know why guys are injured. I don't want players to get injured, but. You know, for years we have fought this battle with coaches sometimes about can we find out what's going on here? Because, quite honestly, the fans want to know. And now that they're paying for those players, I feel like they deserve to know a little bit.
And there's just so much money in gambling at this point.
So that's the sign for me, is that I don't think Calvin Dinkins is going to be out very long, if at all.
Yeah, and it was pretty clear right away when he started talking about Dinkins that this isn't a serious injury, and that's great news because my first thought when I see him on the ground holding his knee is he just tore his ACL.
Yeah.
After playing one game last year, he's going to get one game in this year. And now, last year, Zach Arnett said that he was going to be back in a few weeks, and he never came back. So,
in fairness, in that situation, though, Zach Arnett, an idiot.
It was very clueless.
Yeah.
He's going to
find out that I said that, and he's going to come kick my kill ass. You.
Yeah, he still lives here, by the way.
Yeah. Don't anybody tell him what I said.
You have to have Dinkins healthy. You have to have Dinkins and Travion Williams healthy because those two were...
They're the difference makers.
They were one of the only two dynamic defensive linemen we saw the other night. Mm-hmm. And it feels strange to say that, you know, what they showed on that second drive when that was the only drive the State gave up points.
Yeah.
And those two guys were in there. But Travion Williams nearly got a sack on that touchdown play. I don't know how the quarterback got that off, but we very rarely saw any kind of pressure on the quarterback. And then Dinkins got a sack on that possession. And he had two tackles and, you know, a couple of possessions that he played. So both of those guys are key. You got to get them healthy and get them out there. And hopefully Dinkins can give you some extended time, more than one game. And then Kelly, I was watching the game back. He is running up and down the sidelines, jumping up, celebrating with teammates. I get the sense that they just wanted one more week to just let him heal up and not risk anything, because these next three games are critical for Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be available.
Of the opinion that if State had played a non-FCS opponent, or if State had played Arizona State Saturday, he would have played.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of that opinion.
And
but did you see the video of him going around?
Yes.
Where he's just jumping around and everything else on the sideline? He's fine.
Yeah, and I mean, adding him to the mix, you got a crew out there.
It's a real SEC receiving.
This is a
core.
Really good receiving core. Like this is one of the best that
your
I've
top
seen.
Five guys could play at other schools.
Yeah,
you know, and you think about, I think about Moorhead's first year, or maybe it was Mullins last year. State's leading receiver was Jesse Jackson. No offense to Jesse, played hard for Mississippi State, but And he only had like 300 yards receiving on top of all that. Now you've got guys that like Coleman, Akari, Mosley showed you what he can do. We know Creed Whittemore is talented. Stonka Burnside, Mario Craver, huge upside with those. These are real SEC options.
Yeah. And this is a great receiving core to have in year one with an offense like this after having a miserable offense. I'm kind of surprised that he has a group like this. But it kind of speaks to, first of all, the ability of Chad Bumpus to build relationships, but also the what people know about Jeff Lebby's offense. These receivers turned down some really good options to come to Mississippi State and play for a guy that has not coached a ball game as a head coach. So what they're doing this year is only going to make Mississippi State a more sexy destination for these skill position players. I was really impressed with that group on Saturday.
Yeah,
and that was without Kelly, who I think has the potential to be State's best receiver.
And not the same position, obviously, but Seydou Traore kind of a non-factor. Now, as you pointed out earlier, huge factor in that he was the guy who recovered two of those fumbles for Mississippi State. So being around the ball, being aware, having your head up, that's great. But I was really surprised to not see him get a catch. He had a drop. Shapen did hit him with a pass, but he dropped it. But
I think he saw the guy in front of him and thought, I'm about to get decapitated. I think he
just a touch.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But
which I can't really blame him, because if that was me, I would probably scream and cry.
Well, the good news, Robbie, is if it was you, you wouldn't be open.
True. I would never be open.
You would never be open.
Well, I might be. They might just be like, forget this
guy.
They
would just tell a 340-pound defensive tackle, be like, hey, you can cover him, man.
Right. We don't really need to worry about this guy, because he couldn't catch it if he threw it five yards down the field.
Have you ever caught a pass from an SEC quarterback?
Just throwing it around, yeah.
It hurts.
It does hurt.
It's different than the way you throw the ball
around
with your friends.
Big reason why they wear gloves.
Yeah, it's different than the way you throw the ball around with your friends. Anything else to take away from this press conference? Anything stand out to you?
I thought just the fact that he talked – the main takeaway for me when he was looking back at game one is just he just did not like all the silly little mistakes that they made. And he did preface it a couple of times saying, you know, it was raining on the two possessions that we struggled to score in that first half, and that probably had something to do with it. But the whole consistency thing, he just wants to see – it was like a Mike Leach press conference, I felt like. He wants to see more consistency. And that's what State's going to have to do if they want to spring an upset on somebody this year. They're going to have to play consistent, good, clean football because they don't have the horses on the defensive side, still not – you know, where they want to be offensively, especially in the run game. So he wants to see his team play a much more clean ball game this week, and you're going to have to when you go on the road and play an opponent that appears to be significantly better this year in Arizona State.
Yeah, there's no question about that. This Arizona State team appears to be much improved. I don't know a lot about Wyoming, but so it's one of those things where Arizona State didn't beat anybody like this a season ago. They were dominant from start to finish. So that's a
and Wyoming, I think, won 9 games last year. I mean, it's not a bad program.
No, they've been good in years
they've
past.
They've had some lean years, but I was looking at their year by year earlier, and they've been much better than I thought. Now, they played in the Mountain West, but still, I mean, it hasn't been a team that's just been god-awful.
No. So, I expect this to be a very tough game. The betting public loves the Sun Devils. This line has gone from 3.5 to 6.5. People are hammering Arizona State to win this game.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I mean,
I guess
nobody buys Mississippi State right now.
Well, let's just look at it like this. Let's just take the names off the helmets, right? And I just say two teams picked towards the bottom of their conference, and Team A is at home. Who are you going to bet? You would say Team A most times, right?
Yeah.
Without knowing anything else. And, you know, the general betting population is dumb.
They don't know much about the two teams. They're just kind of like...
Well, that's why the casinos are nice and your house isn't as nice.
Yeah.
As simple as
right.
that. So, yeah, for me, yeah, it's not overly surprising that Arizona State's receiving a lot of the money right now.
Well, if you look at it, too, I mean, look at last week's line for State. And, you know, we talked about how crazy that is. I think it's just you're dealing with the same thing. Until this team gets out on the field with some really good teams and can stay in the fight with those teams, people are just not going to buy State right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of people go and look at the analytics and the metrics and things like that, and the metrics absolutely hate this team mm-hmm. because it's the opposite of last year's Mississippi State team. Even with a new coach last year, the metrics said this team could be a problem. This team could upset some teams because you had most of your offense coming back, you had most of your defense. A lot of those metrics rely on returning production. How many yards are you bringing back? FPI, stuff like that, that's returning production. That's how many yards you put up passing, who are your leading tacklers, are they back? And that matters in a lot of ways, but the transfer portal is really going to wreck some of these Vegas odds because you just can't take, you know, it's tough to take somebody that was like a Kelly Akori, who was a 1,000-yard receiver in the Conference USA, and translate how that's going to work out in the SEC.
Yeah.
You just can't do that. Blake Shapen coming from Baylor to Mississippi State, you know, the metrics probably didn't like that. People have him picked last in the SEC as a quarterback. And in week one, he's one of the higher-rated quarterbacks. And that's probably going to be the case in many games.
Yeah.
I've seen enough from him to understand he's not going to make a ton of mistakes. He might have made one bad pass the other day.
Yeah.
He threw a pass to Sadie Traore, and I think you and I were talking about it. He missed Craver or Coleman.
Yeah.
In the end zone.
In the end zone, yeah.
And he threw it to Sadie, and it was a dangerous pass. But
yeah.
I don't remember him making a ton of mistakes. He said the worst mistake he made was the touchdown run.
Yeah.
He was supposed to hand the ball off. And if you look at the blocking scheme right there, that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Instead, he kept it, was looking for a receiver, and then just took off and ran.
Yeah.
So I've seen enough from him to know he's going to be able to run that offense really well.
I agree.
That's why that pick of him at 16th was just foolish.
Yeah. Oh, we will revisit that throughout the year.
Yes, we will.
Ah, let's move into our SEC picks.
Hey, by the way, before you start that,
I
was thinking about...
You're just going to interrupt my ad read.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about back to I saw the sign.
Yeah, yeah. It opened up my eyes.
Yeah, so... Ace of Base
yeah.
did that song.
Yes.
And I was looking at, you know, some of their hits.
They had two.
They had more than that I thought were
okay.
legit. So my sisters had Ace of Base albums. So that's what we listened to. Ace of Base, Boys to Men.
Okay.
That time frame.
Yeah, sure.
One of the first hits they had was All That She Wants.
All That She Wants.
Which was
that's the other song, I thought.
The Sign.
Uh-huh.
Don't Turn Around.
Oh, Don't Turn Around. I forgot about that.
Yep. We got more here. Beautiful Life.
Oh, that's them. That's right. Yeah.
Cruel Summer. They redid Cruel Summer. Cruel Summer, which is a great song.
Who's the original on Cruel Summer? Oh, it's on
Panorama.
Is that? I saw your lips go like. Buh.
Yeah. I was trying to remember if that was them or not. Yeah.
Yeah. Panorama.
Which is a very good original song too. But the Cruel Summer by Ace of Base was really good.
Anything else you want to throw?
Anything else? I don't believe they had anything else, but several hits.
Yeah. I got some bangers.
The Sign, the song that we're using here was. Was number two
hit.
In Sweden, and it was number one in Australia, Canada.
It was a monster hit.
Denmark.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah.
And they also did it on Full House. I don't know if you remember that.
I do. So, let's move into the rest of the show.
Okay.
That's our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. We want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, if you're staying up late, I mean, if it's a 9:30 kick, you can get that brisket on around, you know, it's 8 a.m. and have enough time to get it cooked before kickoff. But whatever you're
doing. Mississippi pot roast.
Exactly. Whatever you're doing, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And, of course, if you're wanting to head out for the evening, hey, we have so many great steakhouses here in the state of Mississippi. Go try one this weekend. You won't regret that. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And of course, you are looking for it. You want to go grab a delicious meal. You can find it at Two Brothers, one of my favorite places. The place I tell everybody, anytime somebody asks me, Brian, where should I go eat here in Starkville? Two Brothers, always at the top of my list. And the older brother is climbing up that list as well. when I want a fancy sandwich. There's no other place I can go. Next time I go, I'm going to see if they will, in fact, make the croque monsieur Haydad for me. And if we can do that, I will let y'all know, and we can have a little secret menu item for our Thunder and Lightning listeners. Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the older brothers, two of the best new restaurants, not two of the best new restaurants, two of the best restaurants in the whole city of Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they have been doing it for 50 years. 50.
50.
50. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. And then if you need a service on something they've sold you, it's just a call away. And the most important part about that is it's not a call where you're going to be on hold for an hour. And then you have to talk to somebody, and they're going to set up an appointment for you with this out-of-state guy. And he'll be there in a week to 10 days. Imagine something in your office breaking, and you need a week to 10 days to fix it. Who can wait that long? You can't. You shouldn't have to. You don't have to with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this year, you've got to go to Maroon & Co. You guys did that this weekend. You about sold them out of all their stuff. Good news, though, they're going to get more in. And you should be using our promo code. Save yourself some money. Thunder15 is the promo code where you can save 15% off all regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply, but we have been showing you all of the great gear they're getting in. You cannot get that stuff anywhere else. It is only available at Maroon & Co. The Bulldog Initiative gear, only at Maroon & Co. The Bell Smith and his custom cowbells, Maroon & Co. They've got it. Nobody else does. Before you go to Davis Wade Stadium, you go to Maroon & Co. All right, we both picked the same games last week. No difference between us. So we are still even par here. Going.
I should have picked Vanderbilt, you scallywag.
I don't know how I mind controlled you out of that, but I'm glad I did.
You didn't mean to. You were. I was just like, Vandy sucks.
I was honestly looking out for you.
I believe that Vanderbilt is going to be significantly better this year.
They look like it. Well, they got a quarterback in there. Probably can play quarterback.
We should have given him a little more grace because he is a good quarterback.
All right, well, it'll be all right. All right, let's go through the ones I think we'll agree on. McNeese at Texas A&M will take the Aggies.
We also just bypassed South Carolina last week, too. We shouldn't have done that. We were just like,
yeah, well. In retrospect, yeah. Tennessee Tech at Georgia. We'll take the Bulldogs. Middle Tennessee at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a 40.5-point favorite. They may have that at half.
That's
gross.
Their schedule again, this front game, half is so bad.
This game was close a year ago. I don't think it will be this time. South Florida at Alabama.
Yeah. It was at South Florida too, so it was just kind of weird.
That was a game Milroe didn't start.
That was a weird time for them.
Yeah, they were going through a goth phase.
They were
Buffalo.
It was just a phase.
Yeah,
remember that? Remember that?
Yes.
When we were going to the wrestling thing.
Yeah.
Can I tell a story?
Yes.
So we're going to what was it, AEW?
Yeah.
So me and Brian walking down the sidewalk. Was Logan with us?
Was this? Oh yeah, this is the one in Alabama.
Yeah,
yeah, it was Logan.
So we're just like walking down the sidewalk, and this girl walks by, and all black, the black lipstick.
Yes, complete
total
goth. Yeah,
and which is, I'm not making fun of people that are goth,
right?
But I just turned to Brian and I whispered, "I thought that was just a phase. Like I thought that was just a. I didn't know that there were still goth people. Like I thought that was just like early 2000s or whatever." And I was not loud at all.
No, you aren't.
She turns around and goes, "It's not just a phase." And I was like, how did she hear that?
Should have said dad at the end of it.
I hate you, dad.
That's not just a phase. There's a meme or a comic that's going around of like a mom telling her daughter, "You're just going through a phase. It's not a phase." And then like they show the rest of this woman's life, and she's like a goth grandma at the end of it. I told you it wasn't a phase.
Every person I knew in high school that was goth
is not anymore.
They listen to country music
now. They're a little different now. So all right, Buffalo at Missouri. We'll take the Tigers.
Ton of games that are. Bunched together here.
Yeah. Nichols at LSU. 2-0-1 teams.
I mean, couldn't be Mississippi State. I know that. No.
God, LSU. As soon as I realized LSU wasn't going to cover, I was like, well, just go ahead and lose.
I want to say that when Brian Kelly was hired, you and I both said this is weird.
It's a weird hire.
Good coach, but it's just that for that place, it's weird. Yeah.
All corn at Vandy's going to be 2-0.
Yeah.
Rolling. Houston at Oklahoma. If you listen to Sunday's or Monday's pod, you know that Houston received the no coffee.
Kevin Barbet
against Oklahoma. I don't think it's going to be much better. So those are the games we'll agree on without any debate. Game of the day, 11 a.m., big nude kickoff in Ann Arbor. Number 4, Texas, at number 9, Michigan.
I'm not moving from the back porch on Saturday.
This is a great day of college football. I know this is a top 10 matchup. Texas is a 6.5-point favorite. Texas is going to mow them down. It's going to be a bloodbath.
You think so?
Yeah.
At Ann Arbor.
Yeah, Michigan's not very good.
I am very skeptical of Michigan because I feel like Harbaugh was running that operation really well, and they lost a lot from last year. I'm going to go with Texas too, but I don't know if it's going to be
Murderville. Okay,
yeah,
we'll see. I'll give Arkansas credit. Did not think they could put 70 on the board last week playing anybody, but they sure did. Now they travel to number 17, Oklahoma State, for a very interesting game at 11 a.m. on ABC. Oklahoma State won on the year, 1-0 on the year. They beat South Dakota State pretty handily. South Dakota State's a good FCS team, but they beat them. They were a lot more convincing than Colorado was, I'll put it that way.
Arkansas Pine Bluff is
awful.
Awful.
Really, really bad.
Eastern Kentucky could beat Arkansas Pine Bluff, I feel certain.
I agree with that, yeah. Maybe Arkansas can show a little sign of life here. I don't know, but I'll definitely take Oklahoma State to win.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that game was a little fraudulent for Arkansas. I'm not ready to jump on that bandwagon because I just think Arkansas Pine Bluff's that bad.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be one of the best running backs in the country.
Yeah, Gordon is fantastic.
This is going to be a little different. So I'm taking Oklahoma State as well.
All right. Out on the plains of Alabama, Cal visits Auburn. This game was close a year ago.
You said Cal.
I did say Cal.
Cal, C-O-W.
Oh, there might be cows there.
Out on the plains of Auburn, there's a cow.
There's a cow.
Yeah,
they said cow.
They are very similar to Mississippi State.
Yeah, they're at cultural school in the state
of
Alabama.
Did we talk about the helmets at Utah State?
Yeah.
With the cow.
With the cow, yeah. Cal at Auburn. Auburn. What do you got? I guess I'll go with Auburn.
This game was putrid last year.
It was so bad.
Like 10-7 or something.
Yeah.
I think Auburn's significantly better this year. A little bit different energy there. A lot of excitement. I don't know what that translates to season long, but I do think that they will handle California.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn's a very difficult place to play, especially if you're one of these.
This is a night game. Goodness, but it's not a 2:30 kick.
Yeah. I'm taking Auburn.
South Carolina at Kentucky. South Carolina looked really bad last week. Kentucky looked fantastic. If that game hadn't been stopped in the third quarter, they probably would have won by 50 over Southern Mississippi. Who do you like in this one?
Kentucky.
Yeah, it's got to be the Wildcats here.
Tough place to play, and South Carolina looks putrid.
Yeah. Just because I want it, just for the lulls. Samford at Florida. I'm just going to say this. Samford, a couple years ago, went toe-to-toe with Florida.
They did.
Four quarters.
With Mullen there.
With Mullen there.
After he just fired John Hevesy.
Yes. And then Samford runs air raid. Remember Chris Hatcher, their head coach, was on some short list for offensive coordinator here a couple seasons ago.
One of the few places that I think runs similar to what Michael Leach did.
Air raid is designed to give the underdog a little bit of a chance. I'm just saying this game, there's so much bad vibes around Florida right now. Florida will win, but I think it's going to be one of those games where, like, you're in the third quarter and Samford's heading around and the fans are just losing it.
On the hidden in plain sight game.
Yeah. Yeah.
6 p.m. on SEC Network Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is this isn't as easy as they think. I don't believe. It's going to be interesting. I think Florida wins, though.
Right. The only other one we can pick here. Tennessee, that says at NC State, but it's a neutral site game. They're playing in Charlotte, which is there'll be a good Tennessee crowd there. I thought Tennessee looked fantastic. I know they're playing a bunch of nobodies, but just complete domination of that game. NC State struggled a little bit in their opener this past week with Western Carolina, 38-21. And they were down in the second quarter in that game. I think Tennessee wins easily.
Yeah, I like Tennessee a lot, man. I've been a fan of Josh Heupel for a long time. I think Nico is going to be
excellent.
There you go.
Yeah.
I really believe this is a breakout candidate team here in Tennessee, and they got some dudes on defense too, so
yeah.
I'm taking them in this game.
All right.
NC State, they struggled last week, did they not?
Yes, they did.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with Tennessee. Right. Did you get a chance to watch some ABC games?
Yes, I watched
was
Georgia.
Florida and Florida-Miami ABC?
They were ABC, yeah.
I liked the broadcast.
It's fine.
I didn't hear
just,
much of
it's
it.
It's just the ABC – it's just the ESPN guys. The only difference – you know, not to have to hear – to not have to hear Gary Danielson, was a blessing. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Love it.
There you go. All right, so we'll go in another week with no differences between us. We will we'll try to see if we can split the difference next week. We'll find out.
How many times have you skipped over a game? It's like, this is going to be a blowout,
and it's come out to bite me.
Yeah,
I'd have to think about it. I'm sure. Well, let me look at. Let me see. Like last year, was there a big like FCS team or a group of five upset over a team?
I don't remember. I'm sure there was like a game where it's like, you know, it happened like a Maine versus.
I can think of one right off the top of my head. New Mexico State and Auburn last year.
Yep.
I guarantee I didn't.
I don't think we picked that.
I think that was just like, we'll both take Auburn kind of thing. Yeah. See, it happens. It could happen.
Tough.
We'll see.
Tough.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a great Tuesday. Robbie and I will be back with you on Wednesday for the rumblings. Get your questions in to us now, and we will be happy to answer them. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haggad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.